Te reo ererangi o te mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
I have the amazing opportunity today to talk to Bex Lipp from the incredible Wildling books series. And I want to really delve into her as a parent, knowing that this has also contributed to her as an author, and especially in regard to one of her children having autism. I cannot wait to share this with you. Thanks for joining us for Being Real Parents with me, Anna, and my colleague and buddy,
Kate. We work in the parenting space.
And it's here where we'll talk about our worlds as parents, the good, the not so good, and the hilarious, and mix this with what we know about behaviour and psychology. Bex, so excited to have you with me.
So excited to be here. I always love being with you.
I always love being with you, actually. You give me energy and, yeah, and I get excited by all the things that you do. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Today, though, we're going to talk about you as a mum. Yeah.
Okay, then.
Knowing that, you know, there's no such thing as perfect parenting and, you know, we're called real parents for a reason.
I tell my kids that all the time. Yeah. I'm always like, I'm probably a terrible mother, but I'm trying my best here. And they're always like, Mum, you're the best. It's so lovely.
Oh, I'm so sweet.
So, but being quite open about, you know, I'm not going to get it right.
Yeah.
A lot of the times, but I'm trying.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk us through you. You've got, how many children do you have?
I have three sons.
Three sons.
Yeah. So they are 18, almost 16, and my youngest has just turned 12. So almost three teenagers in the house.
That's cool. And then, so 18, 16, 12. Mm-hmm. Which is your son with autism in there?
My middle son. Actually, my eldest son was diagnosed, well, they wanted to diagnose him with Asperger's when that was a thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't really feel it was going to be helpful to Billy. I found that whenever you mentioned labels like that, this was, you know, 15 years ago,
yeah,
that they would just make automatic assumptions about your child, which was going to be a disadvantage to Billy. Yeah. And in actual fact, he functions so well. Like, he never sort of needed any help. I think when he was really young, it was his explosiveness, which was really difficult for me as a mother. He would have night terrors and would scream for hours, and people didn't believe me that it was that long, but my younger sister stayed, and she woke in the next morning, she was like, oh my gosh, you weren't exaggerating. And I would literally get up and I would just hold him physically tight and just say, Mummy loves you, Mummy loves you. And I just rock him until he sort of got into a calm space and went back to sleep. So he had his issues. A lot of it was he would just get obsessed about stuff, and he would line up all his dinosaurs, and he knew all the dinosaurs' names, and he had all the, you know, Star Wars figurines and those kind of, you know, traits, I guess. But he just thrives, I guess. So he's taught himself different languages, and when he gets into things, he's just all in, and he's just doing so well.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's my middle son who has autism, and we needed to get him that diagnosis because he really, you know, was going to need help and will always need probably help.
Cool. That's a beautiful introduction to you. We're going to delve deeper into that in just a minute.
You're listening to Being Real Parents on Plains Media, broadcasting on 96.9 FM, streaming live and available as a podcast on plains.org.nz.
So you've been a mama for 18 years. Cool journey?
Yes, I've always wanted to be a mother, uh-huh. I think. I've just always really craved it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. And still love it, hey, you know? Like,
I love it.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine life without my sons.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I adore them.
Yeah, I always feel that about you. And you're also really involved in their world. Was that always a conscious decision for you?
I always tell my boys that I am their biggest fan, yeah. And no matter what they do, I will be there cheering for them. Yeah. And I think I get quite emotional because I'm that kind of person, I guess, and I've just thrown all of that super love and my emotions into my kids, I guess. I don't know if that's a great way of explaining it, but I just want them to know, have always wanted them to know that I just love them. And I really feel like as parents, we can't love our kids too much.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot of the kids that have troubles in the world, so often it stems from that lack of being loved and that lack of feeling like you belong and there's people cheering for you.
Yeah. I wonder also whether or not, and you've talked a lot in the past around your journey in terms of mental health, and has that been a real influence in your parenting and how you want to be with your kids?
Yeah, I definitely want them to know that I'm always there for them, that there's nothing that they can't talk to me about. I've been as open as I can without giving them trauma, I guess, now that they're older, about my struggles. And I definitely talk to them, as they've come into their teenage years. I see with my boys that 14-year-old mark, sort of they really struggle, 14, 15, mm-hmm. with who am I, my identity, what, where do I belong? And, and I've always talked to them, like with my 12-year-old, he knows, you're going to be a teenager soon, so you're going to have this time where you're going to find it really challenging and, you're going to struggle with who you are, but we're here for you and you'll get through that and that it's normal, And I'll talk about sometimes, when age appropriate, of course, yeah. The struggles that I've been through and the things that you need to do that helped me anyway to, give you a fulfilling life.
Yeah, yeah. You have a really mature relationship, like dedicated, loving, nurturing, but a very mature relationship with your children, I think. That's what I've noticed about you.
Yeah, I always believe, and I guess it comes through with our books as well, is that children are a lot smarter than we think and that they can take on a lot harder concepts than we think as well. And, they're navigating the world just like we are, just at a different stage, So I've always felt like being open, but not too open, not talking about, not that Chris and I have many arguments, but we don't bring the kids into, just stresses, I guess. But I think I just always talk. I'm just always talking about the world and other people and, not talking about other people, but, say we see a homeless person and, we'll discuss that, how did they get there and, and just always talking with my kids. I think so much of the education is just through conversations, and getting them to see things from, try and see things from different perspectives, and they teach me along the way too, sharing their journeys. So,
any kind of like times when it's been really tough for you as a mama?
Any times that were tough?
Yeah.
I think when the kids are little, it's just tough. So, no matter who you are, if you've got little ones, it's going to be hard, you know, just struggling day to day to get through the day, especially by the time I had my third son. You know, I had Billy, who had all of his issues. He was having health issues. And then Ollie had been diagnosed, and we knew he had autism, and he was having his sort of behavioural issues. And then I've got a baby, and I was working part-time, helping my husband as well. So it just was a lot in those early. I just felt like I never had a moment for myself, I guess. But in saying that, I adore my kids, and I just knew that, you know, that my Nana would always say, "This too shall pass," and that those times are precious and difficult all at the same time. Like, it's just this mess of love and chaos, and but you get through it, and you just have different periods in your parenting journey, and they have different difficulties that come along with it. But I guess, yeah, at that point it was a lot, because, you know, I didn't really know a lot about autism, and, you know, I guess, when my son got a proper diagnosis by a psychologist, so he'd been diagnosed with a paediatrician who actually missed him initially and said, "No, he's fine," which is what I get a lot from people when they meet my son. "Oh, he's fine," you know, five minutes with him and they think that. And when I went back to the paediatrician, he apologised to me, like, profusely, and was like, "You should have had help this whole time." Wow. "And I'm so sorry that I didn't see his difficulties." But this, we'd gone to Massey University to do a study on, it was a study about fish oils in the brain and vitamin D, and whether that helped autistic children. And part of it was quite a big assessment by a psychologist. And I'll never forget getting her sort of big three-page letter that said that my son had severe autism. And even now, that makes me really upset. So that was a really hard moment as a parent, because then you just worry about their future. And even now, he's nearly 16. I'm constantly worried about where he will end up when I'm not here.
I don't know that many people talk about some of the grief that we feel in diagnosis. Yeah.
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 And it's not that I don't love my son.
No, not at all.
It was just, it just hit me, because I thought, no, he's not severe, and that he was borderline intellectually disabled. So his intelligence marks were just really low. And, you know, that was just, it was really hard. The other side of it, though, with like everything, is that she'd said she'd never even met a child with a visual, visual memory like my son.
Wow.
And that she had to stop the game because he could have just kept going, or whatever game that they were playing. And I kind of got frustrated after, because I thought, well, what does that mean? And how can I get that to help my son in his future? And it hadn't really become clear until just recently, in the last year, my son took up chess, and all of a sudden he's gone from just sort of, you know, knowing the basic moves to thrashing my husband, who plays chess, has played chess a lot, and got invited to the national chess competition in Wellington last year, and he's progressing so well. And I wonder if it's his, that aspect that she mentioned when he was six, that is helping him there. So yeah, but the actual, that was one of the hardest days for me, I think, as a parent.
I have just been doing some webinars and things around the incredible strengths of our neurodiverse tamariki. And that sometimes we just have to keep our focus on that. Our schools.
Because sometimes their strengths are not going to benefit them in the real world. And that is the thing that I struggle with the most is because he could be really good at chess, but is that going to provide him an income? And is it going to, you know, I guess it's that aspect of it. And I mean, my son, I call him my little Buddha, even though he's not little anymore. He's got a giant six pack and he's taller than me. He's a big, big, handsome man now. But my little Buddha, he just has a way about him of always seeing the positive and just he just shines this beautiful sunshine on everyone. It's a gift he has.
Yeah. Which is absolutely going to serve him in the long term. Yeah.
Yes, but that was the reason we homeschooled, because the psychologist actually was a bit concerned about him going to school because he thinks everybody thinks and sees the world the way he does in this beautiful, kind light, and that nobody would do something mean to him on purpose or... and she was very concerned with his vulnerability and just being taken advantage of. And that is the reason I never considered homeschooling, didn't even know anything about it. But it was at that point that I had to consider it, because it was, you know, if some kids told him to jump off a bridge, you know, you'll be fine, he would do that because he would believe that that would be fine, even though he couldn't swim. So, you know, there was a real danger with Ollie, I guess, being very vulnerable and, you know, still, you know, at this point, I mean, he's a lot better, nearly 16, so, but he's very swayed by people's opinions. And so I'm always trying to challenge him, but what do you think, you know, and your views matter. It was kind of all of that was unfolding, you know, getting his diagnosis and then them saying, well, you know, maybe school wasn't going to be a safe place for him. He wasn't going to be able to get full-time care because the schools are overwhelmed as it is with, you know, and he had a lot of toileting issues, so I was really concerned about that if he was at school and then he, you know, messed his pants, you know, what kind of teasing, you know, we have terrible rates of bullying and that hasn't really got improved since, you know, over the last decade or so, unfortunately. I got bullied horrendously at school. So I know what that does to your confidence and it is a scar that you carry, and bullying, it just sort of, it never leaves you, I guess. So there were a lot of factors and at the end of the day, I just couldn't risk it. And one of the things was I'd gone in and have a meeting with the school and they'd opened up these new big classrooms of 70 kids with two teachers at that time. And I said, trying to explain to them that, you know, when the bell rings, he might think that's home time, even if it's morning tea or lunchtime. Who's going to check that he doesn't leave? Oh, he'll be fine. I just kept getting told, he'll be fine, he'll be fine. And so I just knew Ollie, because Ollie would get stuck in these patterns with things, and it was very difficult to break. So if he thought the bell meant home time, there was no way. It was going to take a lot of work for that to change. So there was a number of factors, and for me at the end of the day, it was just safety, and his confidence was the biggest thing as well, that I didn't want damaged. So, yeah, that yeah. was my homeschooling. That all sort of tied in yeah. with him getting that diagnosis and my homeschooling journey.
And you homeschooled all of your children, yeah?
Yes, so my eldest was at school for 3 years, and then as we were just, you know, we kept Ollie in kindy. He had a wonderful kindy. And they were just marvellous with him. Yeah. And they let him stay till he was six. And the great thing about Ollie is he always loves little ones, and still to this day, he just loves babies, and he's just that kind nature. So they love to have Ollie there, because Ollie would just go for the little ones and, are you okay? And he'd be kind of looking after them, you know. So it was quite sweet. So he stayed in kindy till six. And so over that period, it was deciding, you know, what we were going to do. And then we decided, yes, we would homeschool. And my eldest son, he had 2 good years of school, and then he had a teacher that was quite, we could hear her yelling at the kids from the end of the field. And he just started to sort of, like I say, with his, you know, Asperger's, whatever, he was super high functioning. He had comprehension of a 16-year-old, like before, like, I don't even know, can't remember, really young when he was at school, his reading. He just, you know, he just soaked everything in. But the harshness of this teacher, you could see, started to affect him at school. And then when I said, you know, we're going to homeschool Ollie, he was like, please, can I homeschool too? So it was like, well, I guess if he gets to stay at home, you can too. So he did go to school for 3 years, and then, yes, he homeschooled. And my youngest has never been to school like Ollie. So he went to kindy for a little bit, but not too much, actually. So we've had such a wonderful time of just spending time together as a family over all that those years, wow. which I just think is precious.
Yeah, I envy you. Yeah, beautiful.
Well, I worked all the time. So I would work from home, and that would be doing all kinds of things over the years to make money as well as being with the kids. And in a way, it's been really great for the kids too, because they've seen how to start businesses and, you know, that you can try and be flexible with the things that you do, and how you can learn new things. I'm always having to learn new things for the businesses that I've created. So that's been quite a good learning for them alongside me. So, yeah.
Love that. Mm. I'm going to ask Bex for her top tips on parenting, since she's so good at it. Tell us.
I'm not so good at it. I make plenty of mistakes. top tips would be, I've always seen that quote that says, love is spelt T-I-M-E. I can't say enough, spend time with your kids. Sorry.
No, don't. I think that's a beautiful message, and it really resonates. And
I see it now as teenagers. You know, I don't have doors slammed in my face. I have boys that come out and grab my shopping off me and bring it in, and are helpful. People always thought I would be a really strict parent, and I haven't needed to be. I've just loved them.
Mm.
And that's, you see it in that time. And I'm so lucky that I've got to spend with them. Yeah. It pays off, and you see it in your children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just be their biggest fan.
Yeah. I get the sense about you, Bex, that this is, you know, this shines in your books, by the way, like this relationship with children that's respectful and honours them, but also has, you know, has expectations of them, you know. You hold high expectations. They can do this. They are, you know, that you told me before, they know more than we think.
Well,
you know?
One of the things that I always have said in my house is that we are a team. So as a team, you help each other. And that's not just me being of service to my children. That is them helping when they can, as they can, and as they get older. And so I've always said that, and I've never expected them. I haven't forced them to do chores at all. I just don't need to, because they see the service that, you know, I'm always like, I really don't like cooking. And I'm like, another meal done every time we sit down for dinner. And I say, and that's because I love you, because they know I don't like cooking. And so they see that, you know, as a team, I do that for them. And they really respond to that. They feel like a sense of belonging and that we help each other. And now I see it when my elderly neighbours who are in their 80s had firewood dropped off. It's my boys that go and stack their firewood, you know, because they know to help and the importance of that. And they know that they will need help at times in their life, and that they can be helpers in times of their life, and that together, being a team is such an important thing.
Loved it.
And yeah, I think that's it's just what I stress over and over. We're a team, we're a team. And like I say, sometimes you can't see the efforts and what you're doing as a parent when they're young and they're throwing tantrums and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm the worst parent. What are these kids going to turn out like? But you see it as they turn into men and women. And I'm just so immensely proud of who they are turning into, because they're kind and they're loving and they're independent. They're able to speak for themselves. They're not, they're their own people, you know. And yeah, just being a team and making sure you spend lots of time with your kids, have dinners every night, no phones, we have music. But we talk to each other, and no social media.
Love that.
I've been so lucky with homeschooling that that's just not been a thing. It's not a thing. And so, you know, my autistic son, he's nearly 16, he doesn't have social media. He's got a phone now because of his part-time jobs, just for being able to ring to be collected. And all he uses his phone for is chess. My 12-year-old does not have a phone. That's a whole nother topic, I guess, and something I've put into my latest book. But, just spending time with your children. Be a team, love each other, and be their biggest fan.
Love that so much. We are going to end there. Thank you so much for your time. What a beautiful kōrero with you and your mumming. And, I will definitely point people in the direction of that book that you're talking about that I love. And, and it's a great teen read. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for being with us today.
We hope you've learned that while parenting is challenging sometimes, that's totally normal. It's been fun having you with us. Keep being amazing.
Bye!